Mackenzie Reel 7. By this time, of course, you've been promoted, haven't you?
Yeah, I'd get me around. I'd been in, well, I got it in Korea. In Germany, when I came back, I was confirming on part one orders that way.
Because you were a training corporal, you'd taken on that role, hadn't you?
Yeah, I was training corporal then, Lance Corporal in Night Platoon.
And then that had been obviously verified while you were out in Berlin.
That's right. It came on part one in Berlin when we came back. That was it.
Was there any extra pay?
I think it was 7 children, did you? I think it was about 7 bob. That's all.
You were back in, you came back to training and back to Brandsbeth, and you spent a couple of weeks in Bellaby, is that right?
That's correct, and the moors.
And that's down on the North Yorkshire Moors, isn't
that's
it?
That's right, just about 10 miles out of Scarborough, and we spent a fortnight up there, and it was back to basis again, then buckets by the toilets, wash basins the same, and that one, roughing it again like that, get used to it. And we that was where we're digging in and using it as a learn how to move in advance, field fire in that one. But didn't you don't use live ammunition, you know, you stand there and you're still in that one. But it's the basics of learning that one, how you move up and do that one. The only problem is when you're there, some of the time there's a sheep there and you have to be very careful.
And I think you mentioned that the whole battalion was there at the time.
The whole battalion
was there. Was it just the battalion there?
It was just our battalion. It was like to show all the officers how to get there and do that one, move up across, how we had to hide the trenches, cover them all up so nobody could see. And you had to go out, and then you would go up with a section, and you'd come back again to see where, how you could hit them. It was a battalion, but you would go out and attack or something and come forward to see where it was. You know, you can move that way and climb. Find the ground, find the type and everything else. And that's what you'd done.
So it was a lot more tactical?
Tactical, mostly. You had the weapons, but you didn't use them. You were mostly there. You know, they didn't use fire, live fire. We might have used a little bit, but very little we did. That one. And then we're just doing that one. And we're in tents again, as usual, I suppose. And that was just came back after that. And that's here we came through and we marched, we got carried in transport. And every village we hit coming back over. What to do with the regimental pace with the band. But the band used to be in the trucks with the bugles. And we had to march, and they got into the trucks. And, yeah.
So you marched all the way back from Bellaby?
No, not all the way. We got there. We got into the towns, and I can't remember the first one we went through. But we went through about 4 or 5. And I remember going through Spenningwold because going up the bank was quite a, you know, marching up there. And at the end of the day, your feet gets worse. And when you got the page bank, the band struck up again, and you were. And you've got blisters and all sorts in your feet, and you're not very pleased about them, but you've got to march up. And when you go into camp, you had blisters, you had to go in and get them burst so you could go home, if you want to go home at the time. So it'd be a Friday or a Saturday when we came there, was what it was.
So that was 2 weeks at Bellaby?
Yeah, 2 weeks at Bellaby, then we get into the camp. Then we got kitted out in bit there, we worked there, we got kitted out again.
When you say kitted out, what sort of kit were you issued?
We're getting uniforms settled up and well, the hot, you know, for the greens. We'll get the greens out there for the hot, because when we hit the med, it would be the cooling materials and everything else getting that one.
So we've got a summer kit. What did that consist of?
Lightweight material, very lightweight material. Some of them had with shorts, you could have the shorts on as well, you know, the KDs, but with shorts like that one, you got them as well. Put them on, the KD and nothing else, that's all it was. And an open shirt like that, with the buttons in here. One for your peer, you know, for your peer. And of course, your part one and part two. And then you got this, now if you're lucky, you got your stripes sewn on. If you didn't, you've sewn it on yourself.
Anything else, any other kit you were issued with?
No, not most things. Not there, it was just that. Then when we're coming away, like I mean, else you get it, they show you with your rifles and your rifles. You get rifles then. You got only rifles. You didn't get the Sten guns there. You just got your rifles.
Was that just the normal 303?
Yeah, well, normal 303. Brands wasn't. We didn't get the Brands. The Brands was already packed and ready to come back. the band was left here, so the band never come out where the band was left. It was only the bugle section come with us, with the battalion. And the rest of the battalion went out and about, the band stopped in England to Westway.
So you came back to Bransworth. How long were you back at Bransworth?
We came back, I think it was back end of May, early June. It might be June. So June, it'll be about the 14th in June. It's got to be in June, I think, came back, June. So it'll be in June, July, and we went out in July. We left in July.
So it was only a few weeks?
Yeah, it was only a few weeks, two weeks.
And was that basically preparation?
Yeah, well, it was just getting them all, documentation, moving the people on. We picked some more lads that was there already, you know, in the Bransworth. And we're picking them up, and most of the battalion was made, well, trying to make up strength, and that's what we were. But our company were all together, so we didn't go, only got about five lads out of the, you know, might come in with us. There would be some people had been, like, in the camps and that, and brought in, like, the HQ company. Some of the lads at HQ might have come down and joined us.
How was the battalion organised at this stage?
Four rifle companies, support company in HQ. And then the HQ would consist of the radios, wagons, and that one. And that other sort. And the stores, of course, the stores in that one.
What about the special company?
S company was mortars. Mortars. I don't think we took the Brent was the Brent carriers was obsolete. We didn't get them. The 25 pounders. I don't think we took the 25 pounders. I think the 25 pounders went over, but they weren't very much use in that one. So it was mostly mortars, machine guns, the MMG, the Vickers, and I can't remember the other ones after that one. Just the Vickers and the mortars were the most one, because with hilly country and everything else. And we'll have a big battalion that one, so we'd only have the mortars, the Vickers, I think it was all of that. I didn't use much with it, you know, that type of thing.
Which mortars did you have in S company?
In mortars, we have the 3-inch mortar, the three-inch mortars was out there, and the Vickers, that was only once, the Vickers.
Did you carry mortars in the rifle platoons as well?
Yeah, we carried a 2-inch mortar, but that was... It wasn't much cop. Then when we got out there, I'll tell you a bit more when we got there. We got a different segment.
So which platoon and sections were you in then?
I was in C Company, 9th Platoon.
Who was you in charge of the platoon? Can you remember?
Yeah, the man was, the one I came out with later on was a man called Dunn.
What was he like? Do you remember much of him?
Same as us, National Service, come out. Frightened as can be, like everything else. I think it was a solicitor, one man, Geoffrey Dunn was, lieutenant. Sawbridge and 7th Platoon, with that many officers in that platoon, we don't know how many it was, even then, but that was what it was. The first one came out, we lost him, and we lost the other one, so he just gave up. On names after that one.
Who was your company commander?
Colonel Jeffries. Lieutenant Colonel Jeffries. He was actually a brigadier and came down to Colonel Jeffries. I still see the gentleman. I go to see him. Well, I haven't been up a bit of lately, but we're supposed to, before Christmas, because he's in a bad way. Now he's 90-year-old now, so, but he's still going strong.
When did he join the battalion?
He joined it in Berlin. When I was in Berlin, he came through, and I was in guard at the time. And I didn't know how it was, and he just come through the door, and I says, well, yes, and he says, new CEO, so just went across the square, and of course, I was told to walk across and get transportation, because the duty officer was across there, so, and I did, instead of going using the phone, you know, I walked across, and of course, I got a ride telling off by the RSM, and I just kept on going, I went across, told him, come back again, and I told him I'd just been to see the new CEO. So Hamler was there at the time, and I come back again. Of course, I got an excuse, like, I've got 7 days for being a naughty boy in the square.
Thank you.
A naughty boy.
What did you think of Jeffries?
He was quite a nice man. You didn't see much of him. You never see much of these people. The only time you seen him was when he was on parade. When we're going into the, like in the, when we're laying up the colours, you know, when we're laying the colours up and that. On the boat, you might have seen him twice. He'd come down sometime, but most of the time, you really see any of them. You just seen Trissona. He was a brigadier, and he dropped down to major to come out there. And we'll not see much about him.
You mentioned that the battalion was coming up to strength at that time. What sort of establishment? What about each section? What sort of establishment? Manpower
in each section we went up to 30, I think it was about 35, and we went to 35, and most were about 35. We got down to about 29 something, but 35 was an average then. You had, and of course you had HQ, which, you know, and there was the, like the wireless operators and, you know, the clocks and that one, so you had a section like that. But otherwise we were 35 in each, three corporals, three lance jacks, and a sergeant. And we went out with a man who was the youngest, but you always like to see, he was the youngest sergeant in the thing, a man called Bailey. And Robson was the CSM of C Company. He was the CSM, Robson. They should never have sent that man. He was too bloody old. Couldn't stand it.
How old was he?
Well, the deceiving buddy had done 20 years and he'd been there. So he came across. He joined Warren Berlin. He'd be about, seeing that one, about 30-odd. So he'd got to be 30-odd, 30. He'd done 20. He'd done 24 years, so... Working it out, I was said about 40. He was recruiting, but he had to have a recruiting officer. No, he's going to be a recruiting officer for the damn lightning.
Had he been out of the army and come back?
No. He had. I think he had been out, and I think that's where he wanted to be. He wanted to stay, but he had. I don't think he had any service overseas. You know, or he must have had medals, but would, you know, he's just there, but he hadn't been that one. So he came across with us. But there wasn't that many out there.
So this time back in Bransford, and you're preparing to go out to Korea, obviously you would have known you were going out to Korea at this
point. Oh, yeah, and then we knew that once straight away. We're getting embarkation of angles, and you're weren't going to get your jobs, and then you get the, it was going into the MO, and you're getting, going to get jobs and stuff like that. You were chirping away and put into camp, and like anything else, you're getting strained up again because you've got to march through Durham to put the colours away. And that's a big occasion for when you put the colour away into that in there.
What was that like then?
Oh, it's nice, but the priest was once over there, got in front of us. And you never, if you ever been to Durham. You know, when you're going up the church, we were stuck there with somebody fell up and we couldn't get up there. And all the studs coming up there, we went up the church there. And we're belting up there with the band playing full belt.
Is this full light infantry pace?
Yeah, it's all light infantry pace coming through, out through Durham.
All the way from Bransford?
No. You got tugged down in from there. You can't there, transported down in and you do from the town centre, and that's where it was. Just march up there.
How did you feel about going overseas?
Never thought none of it. Nobody did. Didn't know nothing, so we're all naive, I suppose that's the word for it. Think it's too short planks, if you want to put the word in a basic thing, what a lot of old lads used to say about it. The other one says numbskulls, and quite honestly, that's what they thought of it.
So that was a general feeling, was it?
Yes. Some of the married men might have been feeling a different thing, but we're all just, let me say, there was...
I was just going to ask if there was any apprehension in anybody.
No, well, you knew what you're doing, you were going there and you were told what to do and you're just doing it. You've got to remember that our company was, we was the Cornish, we call it the Cornish, like the 7th Platoon was the Cornishmen, the Somersets and that one, and we were the mixed one, Yorkshire lads were there, but our platoon was, one was Geordies, one was Yorkshire lads, and the rest was a mixed one. You know, the three there, so you just understand what it was. But we're all in joint together, but that was what it was. Yeah, there. We even had a couple of companies in with us.
How did they get the downright inventory?
Well, the way they felt it was that they had come up in the scene, they thought it was Dagenham. Right? And it's Dagenham LI, and they just thought it was that, but they joined it, so that's how they landed with us. It's rather funny, but it is.
Had you been taught much about what was happening in Korea? Did you have any lectures or anything of that?
No, nothing. I don't think anybody knew anything about the place. It was just a rush job to get one out there. Because the Somersets and that one, they were bringing the battalions back. See me when the Glosses are getting hit and everything else, they rushed the back there. So they made the 2nd Battalion up, and the 2nd Battalion was getting made up. And when we were going out, them that hadn't time to do, they were going. And some of the lads had to go into the battalion. So they're just, you know, for the fixture, just we got, you know, knocked.
I mean, you obviously spoke before about being in Bellaby and the various preparations that you were doing. Was any of that particularly aimed at what you would face when you got to Korea?
Well,
the kind of terrain and the kind of warfare that you faced.
When you think about the officers was looking at a mobile advance, but it was a change when we got there. It was a fixed line. So the training, what we had done, was absolutely it would be useful if we were moving up there. But if you go to Korea, you'll find that one time it's solid. Hard as bell metal, you cannot even move into the ground. Then the next minute it's all bog mire in you. If you dig into any place where there's swamp or, you know, the fields of that one, you're covered in. So you couldn't very well do much out there. You had to dig in hills and stuff like that, digging into hills and that one. We'd done that, but that was all it was.
Because it was very much like, almost like the First World War.
That's what it was, First World War.
And had the preparation you'd done, for example, Bellaby, didn't really prepare you for that, did it?
No. You know, even the officers knew about it. The maps they make us was, well, it was, you couldn't find the maps all the time. When you read the maps, they were all just white prints, you know what I mean? It was just a hill zone. But you're looking at one hill and you've got to look for another place over there, so you've got to have your bearings or something like that. The roads, well, you can understand the roads was going through, but we soon learned that out about them. We soon learned how to do that, like.
So you don't think that the training and the preparation was particularly good for what you faced when you got there?
Well, no, it didn't. No, quite honestly, it was no way. An entirely different life.
But you'd have thought they must have had a rough idea of what it was like.
Well, it's on the other side of the world. It's 10,000 miles on the other side. I don't think they knew where the British often didn't know where it was in Korea. And when they got there, it was a all change after that, moving in. You learn when you got there, mind. You soon learn everything about it there, but not when you're going across. When you got there and you come up to the camp, you just... Well, my last day in Durham was in Miners Gala. And I was trying to get to my brother, because my brother had gone across and the banners was going across. So I couldn't get across, so I plodged across the Buddy River over the ford, so I could get up the same. And up through the bus station, and then through the back end to get to the race course.
So did you have any leave before you went out to Korea? Do you have any embarkation leave?
No, I don't think. I can't remember having any. If I did, it would only be a short one.
How did your family react to you going out to Korea?
Never thought none of it. My brother was CSM, and he says, keep your nose clean. If you're only going to do your 2 years, keep your nose clean. And that's it. My dad was just a man. He never thought nothing about it. He didn't know where it was.
You were still a single lad at the time?
Yes, single lad.
So you didn't have any family to worry about?
No family.
What about other lads? I mean, there must have been married lads there.
We had three married in our company. In our platoon, rather. Only three. Paddy Bland was married, Jack Gaunt, and I think the other one, I think it was Robinson was the other lad. But they were changing the rules there when we went out there again. Make our own rules and try to abide by them.
What about the embarkation? Where did you embark from?
We went down to Southampton. Went from here to Sunderland. Sunderland down all the way down the line, all the way down here to Southampton. We embarked here there and we went to the Empire from Southampton.
What kind of ship was it?
It was a troop ship. The crew was mostly Indians. Indians on it. There was an Indian crew. And we got out again, we lost the part of an engine or something like that. I don't know what happened, but the engine wasn't in it.
Was the whole battalion on the ship?
Yeah, oh yes, the whole battalion. Oh, there was quite, so there was women on the ship as well. They were going out, there was about there, I might say there'd be about 1,500 on the all going out. But they'd be going to, well, Malaya or somewhere like that, or Hong Kong or something that way. They were taking people out there. But and some of them would stop on going to Curie.
Are these wives?
Well, there would be wives, and some of them were wax that was going out or something there. We'd never seen them because they were like in a different part. They were going to before we went there. We'd seen them, you know what I mean, but not to do anything with them unless I went through their quarters.
Were there other drafts on the ship as well?
Yes, other drafts on the ship. But we were just kept, like everything else with the battalion, we're all in one part and just kept all together.
Can you remember the date? Can you remember what date it was?
Second, it's got to be a Sunday we went out. So we went down the Sunday. Saturday, Sunday. New Boxing Day. Oh, July, it's got to be about July the 12th, I think it was. July the 12th, was it? I've got it written down somewhere. I don't keep them dates now. I never remember.
I just wondered if it stuck in your mind, that's all.
It's in the book there. I've got a thing with all the gear and everything else, but I never look at it now. It's what it is. Just this thing gone by the board and it's finished and done. Gone by.
So this was quite a large ship.
Well, it was a troop carrier. I mean, it carried about 1,500, so it'd be about, where the crew would be about, suppose about 2,000 or something like that, with the officers and that.
What were conditions like on board?
Three up and that was it. Three bunks.
It was bunks, was it?
Oh, aye, bunks.
And how many of you sleeping in a oh. Room, dormitory, whatever you call
just
it?
Just right along, you just right along. I can't remember how many was there. Can't remember even how many of there was there. Just went in, laid down, and that was it, the night on. You had your kit bag on one day, and that was it, put on one side, and that was it. You just lay there, got up the next day for your meals. Any duties, what you had to do, you got to go to duties after that one. Just got your duties. And every port you were, you know, when we came to the first port, the first time we were out there, we hit the Bay of Biscay, and it was really rough out there. We had a bad crossing there.
Before we come on to that, I just wanted to know a little bit about the conditions on the ship. What about, I mean, you mentioned meals, what were the meals like?
Standard. Better than what we had. We used to, the meal there was the better cooked than everything else, you know, what we used to. I mean, so the staff was good. Actually, I got the job of being waiting on for them, being behind the place, bringing all the stuff up for them. And we used to clean the gullies and all the, you know, the cleaning and bringing all the food up. I don't like that one. I didn't eat all mine, but that's what part and parcel of what went on. And the person would be there, the person that one, he said, just go down, take one down, tell him what he wanted, and what to bring it up. And that was who it was. It wasn't bad on the ship, I had that job. Fire guard as well, as usual.
What other sort of duties were you doing?
Fire guard, drills, you done your drills, you done your boat drills as usual, you know, your boat drill, you had to do that straight away, you done that.
Is that lifeboats?
Lifeboats and that one. It should be there, you had to do that one. You were doing fire guard, it was another one, but the rest of them were just lying about. You had to get used to the heat first, the cold, the heat, the cold, the heat, changing over.
What other sorts of duties did you have to do?
That was all. We just C company had we had the cookhouse. We went across doing the cookhouse work.
What about cleaning and how did you keep the billet clean? Or was it clean for you?
The billets. Oh, you clean your own billet. Your billets, you clean the billets. You've done that one. Every day you're going to inspect, and then when you're in Brandsford, you're going to inspect it, but on the, like everything else, you still come down and on a ship. You got up at, we got up and had to get, I think it was 5 o'clock. We got up before five. I sit there, got ourselves dressed, changed and everything else, put the beds right. Then it was in opposite corner out. But with us being down, some were having to go down to the kitchen. Well, we're excused that type of thing. But then you had to, the opposite came round. And of course, the captain of the ship would come down to make sure it was, you know, clean, tip-top. But most of the where the paint workers and the, you know, that type of thing, that was done by the ship's crew, that one.
And what about personal? Were you inspected? Did the inspections come?
All you got were there. You had to be shaved and, you know, every day, that one, you could do that one. And you were inspected when you're done in there. When you're any job, you're there inspected. That's a daily routine. Named off. And you, well, obviously, I would have to take some of them. And then Paddy, Corporal Brown, or Redmond, or whichever was on duty the day, had to read their things up. Then the sergeant would come in, sort them. After that, we hand him over. Anybody on the sick, you know, sick in that one, which is normal duty every day in the army. It happens every day, that. So you've got to report one. And then you've got to go down. Then you had to learn about the ship and where it was out of bounds in that one, you know. You took along. Well, when we first went on, when you were right along, because we were going down into the, for the potatoes, fruit, vegetables, meat, you know, bringing that stuff. Those are the people and putting them all up. So we were doing that one. And as I say, you took them down. There was two places to wash. One was to put them through and like rinse them, and then we put them through the other way and do that stuff.
Was there any time for training? Did you do any training?
Oh, yeah, well, you've done a little bit of training, but you've got to remember, you only, the training what you did was, we're done firing off the back of the ship with the rifles, like trail and stuff that they are, right? And the Bren guns were brought up and showing you how to use the Brens and that. But, I suppose we've done a brevet, but very little. I don't think we've done that much there because, again, wasn't required of us, I don't think. I mean, say, well, how is this? About 900 men in the battalion, 950, I think it was, going out. Or you had 50 to 950. So there wouldn't be that time for everybody, you know, get practicing anything else.
What did you do for the rest of the time? How did you fill your time in?
Well, fill your time on there. There was a film one. And it was Do Not Forsake Me, Oh My Darling, or High Noon, as you would like to call the film. But every time I got on night duty, it was all the same, I was underneath it. And you'd done Tombola, Housey was under there, and we were under the bloody thing, so I wasn't very pleased about that, it was on the side. But that was it, couldn't complain.
What about gambling, was there much gambling?
Yeah, they were in the nut. You could get with. They had the money. If them that had the money was gambling, there wouldn't be that much gambling. I suppose they play cards, like, but you played cards. There was very little dominoes played on, you know, that one. There was some lads played. Wood cards was a game. There was that type of thing. Yeah, when you're in the nut, you just sat against the tables and that one. If you were up there, I forget how you got there, because when you were in that, there'd only be so many in because it wasn't a very big place. You know what I mean? So. You know, you get your, you know, certain allowance gone up there for a time. And we didn't use it a lot. Well, because we hadn't any pretty money, that was what it was.